Everyone, welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing. We're presented by PPV.com in association with Uncrowned Yahoo Sports. All the great people over there. PPV.com, it's a big week, big weekend for boxing, big weekend for PPV.com. Errol Spence versus Tim Zhu in the Land Down Under will be streamed on PPV.com. And as you know, if you've listened to the show for a long time now, no subscriptions. Not going to lock you in for a year or anything like that. Fight by fight, our latest offering is Errol Spence versus Tim Zhu. You can stream it on all your devices. There'll be a live interactive chat. We'll have a code in the bio on YouTube and over on iTunes and where you get all your audio podcasts. So if you're going to order the fight this weekend, a lot of fights this weekend, I think that's the best fight of the weekend. A little bias there. Do it with us. Do it with PPV.com. They're a proud presenting sponsor. Allow us to do this show twice a week. There's a lot of boxing this weekend, Chris. From a lot of different continents, all over the world. Big names, names you've heard of. It's a wild, wild weekend as I was putting together my notes for this episode.
Bias aside, that is the best fight of the weekend. Zhu and Spence.
It's the closest fight of the weekend.
Yeah, it's the most competitive on paper. It's, I think it's not the biggest name because Anthony Joshua is fighting, but Spence is a big deal. His return is a big story. There's a narrative between these two. It's down in Australia. No, this is bias aside. This is the best matchup of the weekend, no question.
Errol Spence, Tim Zhu, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, Edgar Belonger, Richardson Hitchens, Stephen Fulton, Hamza Shiraz, Sergey Davrenchenko, Demetrius Andrade, Josh Kelly are all fighting this weekend.
Glad you got my man Davrenchenko in there. It's good to see him.
Will Hackett.
Tough fight.
Looking at the odds on that one, we'll have our FanDuel segment. It's one of them weekends. Where do we want to start? Where do we want to begin? Oh, before we start, I want to talk about my day yesterday. It was a classic New York City day. A lot of boxing friends seen. Went to the Uncrowned Studios. Saw our friends. Ariel Helwani doing his thing. New York Rick, Connor Burks, Frank. All the great people over there at Uncrowned. I got to hang out in the control room and got to hang out with our friend Canelo. Canelo Alvarez.
Friend of the show.
Did recognize Saul, me. Friend of the show.
Saul Canelo Alvarez. You guys are the drip bros, as I posted on my Instagram. Yeah, which you said he remembered, right? He came up and said drip.
Bro, I haven't seen him in like a year or two. Now that, you know, he's no longer with PBC and we don't have these fight weeks anymore, we can do content together. I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's going to like remember me. I wonder if, let's see. Let's put it to the test. So Canelo does his interview with Ariel, 51 minutes. Go check it out. Phenomenal stuff. Covered a lot of ground. I head into the studio for a little break. He just looks right. He goes, drip, looks right at me with the drip. And he's checking head to toe. I had the Jordan 4s on. Yeah, it was awesome. And then we talked golf. I showed him my swing. Nice. Yeah, he's just a man. So we talked a little bit of Mbili. You know, he says Mbili's tailor-made for him. I said, yeah, throw 75 punches around. Probably going to get caught with something. A lot of aura from Canelo. It's a lot of hunger. I wanted to see it in his eyes, you know? I wanted to see it from him up close.
And he looked fit.
Still loves the sport.
He looked fit, too, from the photos.
Super fit.
Looked fit.
Trim. A lot more fit than I am.
But there's no veggies in New York, so you're stuck eating meat and potatoes over there, buddy.
I could potentially fight at a weight that Canelo wanted to touch one day, cruiserweight.
Canelo might be lighter than you right now.
He's wearing that all black outfit. He was slim.
Yeah, he looks svelte. For people at home who don't know, have never been around Canelo, he's actually a very cool guy, like super cool. Like you mentioned, the aura he's got, that you see that on stage, but when you're just around him, just a very cool, down to earth dude. Like, could hang out with him and just shoot the shit.
Yeah, some notes from that interview. October 31st is the fight with Mbili.
On Halloween? So
Halloween night.
Which, the
shades of Gervonta Davis, Leo Santa Cruz, 2020.
Dio de los Muertos.
COVID.
The day of the day.
Canelo will be back on October 31st as he has 3 to 4 more fights left. He had disparaging things to say about Benavidez, wants that rematch with Crawford, said he had some mental lapses during the fight week of Crawford, even walking into the ring, which I found very interesting. Like, Canelo Alvarez, at this stage of your career, distracted?
It's funny, man. You get a little older. I dealt with that quite a bit toward the end of my career.
I remember you telling me having an existential crisis
Thriller
fight.
In between rounds and, like, you know, everything. It's just straight me. Your brain gets rewired when you get older, man. And you know, that warrior mentality, things start to creep in. You start to have, you know, family, you have kids, you have things, other things to worry about. That stuff can all creep in and affect how your brain works when it comes to going into battle. So that's why it's a young man's sport.
Yeah, and he said, you know, the reason the fight got pushed back is they had some family issues that are now been resolved. Talked about the belt, talked about Mexican Americans, face of boxing. It was a really good interview. Go check it out on the Uncrowned Ariel Helwani Show YouTube feed. That was a fun day. I did some stuff with DAZN earlier in the day yesterday. Saw Barack, saw Ock, saw Najee, saw Curran, saw Michael Woods, who I hadn't seen in years. I love Michael Woods, a quirky guy. Cool to see him. We did a little like a video shoot promo for some of the upcoming fights on DAZN. There's a lot of fights coming up on DAZN. I had multiple outfit changes. That's how many damn fights DAZN has coming up this weekend. So fun day all around New York. It's one of the New York City days where you're like, you know what? This city is pretty damn cool.
I'm not a FOMO guy. Don't really have that. I'm a little jealous you get to hang out with old friends, but you know, in fact, you're working. I'm like, eh, I'm good. I work
it's a lot of work.
I work like, a lot. You know, it is work. And you gotta, yeah, that's all work. You're producing content, you're doing things, you're doing interviews. That's work for people at home.
The stuff
is not easy, but it's a little different when you're surrounded by a lot of cool people like you were. I'm jealous of the going to the Uncrowned and seeing all those guys. That's where my FOMO,
you gotta show up.
That's where my FOMO kicks in.
We gotta pull up one day. I know Ari was busted my balls about it. I only show up because Canelo was there. I mean, partially true. You know, like, you didn't tell me. Another thing, too, what the hell, Errol? You didn't tell me that Canelo was – I had to see it like just like everyone else does. He posted it on Instagram on today's show. Mm-hmm. Canelo Alvarez in studio. I'm reading that as I'm about to get in my car at the garage head back to Long Island.
It's a nice
surprise. Right. So I was like, all right, I can either shoot back to the island and beat all the traffic, or I can – go hang out with Canelo and all the boys at Uncrowned and have a great afternoon, and then I'll sit in 2 hours of traffic.
Non-New Yorkers didn't understand what you were saying. Sean, what do you mean shoot back to Long Island, beat the traffic? No, that literally, it's the rest of your day. Your night's ruined.
2.5 hours back home. Oof. Worth it, though. Oof. Worth it, because for that wonderful photo I got with our guy Canelo, meeting Frank, our audio engineer.
That's probably where the heart of my FOMO is. I didn't get to meet Frank. Frank is always behind the scenes doing the dirty work.
Doesn't show his face.
Doing the dirty work behind the scenes. That's our guy.
He's our guy. And Casey, our editor, too. So a wonderful crew at Uncrowned. We love them. We love PPV.com. Check out Errol Spence, Tim Zhu. Let's start there. I think it's the biggest fight of the weekend. Closest odds. 8 p.m. start. I know some people are wondering. It's coming from Australia. What time is this fight going to be? They're catering to us. They're catering to you, Chris. I know you like to go to sleep early on Saturday nights. I think you'll stay up for this one.
Yeah.
Because Errol Spence is stepping back into the ring. It's not often that you see a guy fighting today that shared a ring with you and is from your era. Yeah,
we're running out of those.
That's kind of cool.
I mean, he is 37. So yeah, I'm aging. Even my opponents are aging out because I was older fighting them. And now even they're aging out. I'm really getting far away from my heyday, boy. But
yeah, you really are, bro.
But Spence is. I like Spence. I've always liked Spence. I you know, even sharing the dais with him, getting to know him after the fight and whatnot, and you know, watching him, his meteoric rise and all the titles that he was winning and all the big fights that he was in. I think everyone likes Spence. Like, he's a hard guy not to like. From one, his style is awesome, especially later on when he started really standing in front of everybody and just beating the shit out of people. And just the way he goes about everything. He's very nonchalant. He's very down to earth. He's genuine about things. But so is Tim. This is actually two guys I like as people, even though they're good fighters. So it's an interesting matchup.
I always have said that Errol Spence seems like one of the most respected active fighters today. And now he is an active fighter again. Everyone respects him. You know, there isn't a lot of beefs. Like, even the buildup with Terrence Crawford was amazing. That was nothing but respect. Solid. It's hard to find someone that has a bad thing to say about Errol Spence. You know, Javonta Davis, who is as moody as they come, went on to Instagram and sent out a story wishing Spence luck, bring this back home. He's just got that respect level because he never disrespects anyone. He fights hard. His fighting style was tremendous. We'll see if it still is. Pulled up some stats here. In his prime, Errol Spence, I loved watching him fight. You shared a ring with him. You felt 70 punches thrown around. Yeah, nine fights. Oh, my God. 9 fights prime. 9-0, 6 stoppages. 70 punches thrown around as a welterweight. 45% connect rate. And then 36% of his landed punches were to the body, which is well above the welterweight average in terms of the body ratio. Stopping guys, the activeness, the meteoric rise like you talked about, that was Spence from like 2016. When did you fight him? 2016? 2015-ish, 2016. I saw him fighting Coney Island on NBC right up until the Crawford fight. I didn't put the Crawford fight in this one because that was not Errol Spence that we saw in there. It just makes me think, like, what Spence are we getting? Because I'm seeing a lot more movement in some of these videos. I didn't like what I saw a few months back from the first training footage that came out. But what I saw in Australia, not that this is the end-all, be-all, more movement, more legs. Like, will he be throwing 70 punches? What do we expect? Like, what can we expect from Errol Spence after 3 years out of the ring?
You alluded to it. The videos that are coming out now of him working out, it gave me a lot of positive thoughts. I was like, oh, this guy looks good again. Because, again, like you said, when I first saw some of those comeback footage of his training, I was like, he doesn't look good at all. His balance doesn't look good. He looks slow. He looks heavy-footed. What I saw from him in Australia, I'm like, that looks like the Spence of old. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Take it with a grain of salt. It is warm-ups. It is you know, open workouts. But I even remember fight week of Crawford. He did not look good. He did not look good warming up. And we blame the weight, because he was struggling mightily to make 147. But I remember vividly fight week, watching him doing pads on fight week, just like he is right now, and being like, yeah, that doesn't look like the guy that I fought. That doesn't look like the guy that was, you know, beating Sean Porter and Danny Garcia and destroying Kell Brook in his home turf. You know, it looked like a different guy, but he looks much closer to that version from what I've seen this week. Again, doesn't mean anything when you step in the ring, but at least it's an improvement from what we have saw the last couple months.
Yeah, what's the desire too? The stuff you can't really see, the stuff that you can't really measure is like, how bad does he still want it? He's made a lot of money. He's got a great family. Every time that I ran into him over the years, in the last 3 years, he was happy. I'm a soccer dad. I have a farm. I have my fiance or wife. I have my kids. He seemed very content over on that side of things. What does he still want to get out of this sport? Does he want to get a strap at 160? Is he doing it for money? Is he doing it this for one more ride? That's the part that I always wonder about when these guys come up with these long layoffs.
He's doing it because he's a dog and he wants to fight. He's done it his whole life. People forget how good of an amateur he was. This guy was dominating national championships and getting international fights really early on, and even when he, like, from when he started fighting and just started boxing at all. He moved so fast, even as an amateur, and then in the pro ranks, similarly, moved very quick and was very dominant, fought a lot of really tough guys early on. The guy just, this is what he does. He's used to training and fighting. He's gotten away from it. Yeah, he's a dad. Yeah, he's a good family man. Yeah, he really, really likes that. He talks about the family all the time. He's provided for his family. But I think he's just got the itch to fight. I don't think it has to do with money. I don't think it has to do with titles. I don't think it has to do, it's just like the love of the game. I think he wants to go out there and beat Tim Tszyu up because he misses beating people up. And there's nothing wrong with that. Too.
No, nothing at all. Like, I miss playing baseball. I have dreams about it still, that I'm still playing college baseball. Like, I get it. And he's still relatively young, even though he's aging out. He's one of the oldest active fighters today. We've got a few of those this weekend. The fight is at 160 pounds now. It was originally contracted at 158. They added 2 more pounds onto it. Tszyu says he'll be continue to fight at middleweight. Errol Spence, I don't know if he wins this fight, where he'll go from there to take a look at the middleweight division, which, as we've known, isn't the hottest right now. So there is room to get belts in there. First fight without Derek James. I want to say, like, his entire pro career was with Derek James. You don't quote me on that, but a large part of it, it was Errol and Derek James had a falling out, money issues, this, that, and the other. Hate to see that. Ronnie Shields is now Spence's trainer here. Offensive-minded Ronnie Shields.
Yeah, and I think, listen, this is always an issue when you got this kind of thing with trainers falling out with their fighters, that especially their star fighters. But this move to Ronnie, I like. And just because of the way Ronnie coaches, you know, another Texas guy. And I think the camp that he runs is a tight ship. And, you know, Spence, I know, is a hard worker. I've heard about his epic training in the gym over the years, you know, from sparring partners, from fighters, from trainers, whatever. So I think it's an okay adjustment, you know, or lateral move coaching wise. Derek James is a great coach. Like, obviously they have their personal issues. But I think with Ronnie, I think it's a good transition. It's not like he's going and training with like no knock to Virgil, but Virgil Hunter. I think it would be such a drastic change, you know, in mentality and training style that it might make me give me a little nervousness. But with Ronnie, I mean, super offensive, like you said, he knows what he's dealing with. He knows what he's got, and he's going to push him in camp too. So he's not just going to show up and think he can just beat this guy because he is that guy. You know, because a lot of that's another issue when you got older fighters come back. Like, I could beat this guy. I'm just going to show up and be me. You got to train. You know, you got to train hard. You got to get pushed. I think he even said it. He was getting interviewed by Paulie Malignaggi, and Paulie asked him what it's like being off for so long and coming back. And he goes, man, it's different. He was like, it's one thing just to train and, you know, to work out and when you don't have a fight. He's like, but then when you got to step up the level to the intensity that's necessary for fighting, he's like, man, that really wears on your body. That was one of the biggest things. If everyone's like, oh, Chris, you're in such good shape. I'm like, yeah, but like, fight intensity is totally different. That's when the rubber meets the road, and that's when things start to break down. And he, you know, he kind of alluded to that as well. Aging gets us all, man. I know Arrow was Terminator for a while, but he's still 37.
Yeah, he said he wanted to go home some days.
Yeah.
So that was pretty truthful.
Yeah, camp sucks.
He's the truth.
Camp sucks.
Arrow the truth Spence. It must have been tough. Those early, maybe that's when that footage came out of him not looking so great. And this footage came out where he looked a little slow first couple of weeks of training camp. And then the stories come out that he didn't spar at all for the Crawford fight. I don't know if those came out from Derek James. I didn't follow that closely. But it wasn't good press coming out for Spence. But it seems like it has turned a little bit as we get on fight week. He is the slight favorite in this fight. Over to Tim Zhu, who's 3-3 in his last six fights. Two losses to Fundora. The KO loss to Bakram Murtazaliyev. The wins are not spectacular. Dennis Nurja, Anthony Velasquez, Joby Spencer. It's almost like put up or shut up for Zhu. Like, he is still, I want to say he's under 30 or just about there. Like, he still wants to have a long career. And, you know, Errol Spence could stop whenever. He can win this fight and stop. Like, Tim Zhu still, like, wants to accomplish things in the sport. Like, he's going into this fight, I feel like, with a lot more to lose.
Oh, absolutely. I think I said this on past shows. If Tim Zhu loses this fight, we're not going to see him on the world stage anymore. He's gonna stick around Australia. And there's plenty for him to do over there. He could fight all, you know, the Australians love to all fight each other. They stay on their island and they go out there. But, like, this is a must-win for Tim Zhu. Spence, it's really not.
31.
It's not going to affect his legacy at all. He is what he is. He was a welterweight king who lost to Crawford, the best that we've seen. That's his legacy. Whatever he does now, and if it's negative, doesn't add or take away. Listen, if he goes out there and wins another world title, absolutely, it means something. It probably even makes Crawford look that much better. Spence can go into this very nonchalant, not nonchalant, but he can be very undeterred, unworried about, you know, what this is going to do for him. Zhu, this is absolutely do or die.
Tim has a new trainer, I believe. Who's I should have known
Tim?
This
heading Jeff in. Fennec.
Third different trainer in the last 3 years.
Yeah, Jeff Fennec, Australian legend.
Of course.
So one of two Australian fighters in history to ever have titles in two weight classes. The other one is Liam Powell, which just happened like 3 weeks ago.
That's great.
Jeff Fennec is an absolute legend in Australia. That guy moves mountains over there.
Yeah, but, you know, absolute legend. Zhu is, when you're 3-3 in your last six and you've lost spectacularly on the biggest stages, you know, you make these changes and, you know, three different trainers, and he's talking more about the sports psychology of it, the mental aspect of it. Was a little gun shy in that second Fundora fight. The first Fundora fight was the bloodiest affair I have ever seen, or one of the bloodiest fights ever, and that definitely left a mark more ways than one. On Tim Zhu, he's talking a lot of mental health in this, or he's got a sports psychologist now in camp. It's great. I think it's amazing. you know, you can attest to this more than anyone, how mental all sports are at the highest level.
Yeah, I had a sports psychologist, not necessarily a sports psychologist, but I went to talk to a psychologist after fights because, you know, as your career starts to take off and everything ramps up, the pressure becomes unbearable and you got to have some kind of release. And it's one thing there's to release pressure in the gym, but it's another thing to release pressure in negative ways, which you see a lot of fighters do, getting in trouble outside of the ring, issues with, you know, within their marriage, within their house, within their families, with, you know, with the law. So you've got to have that little bit of release to kind of get that off. And sometimes a psychologist can be that, where you can kind of just air things out and get and let off some of that pressure, because the pressure is immense. It's insane. This is the hardest sport in the world and at the highest level with the amounts of money and attention. And the fact that it's just you on Monday morning, dude, after Saturday, it's just you and you're back to being a regular human being. It's really, really wearing psychologically on guys, which is why we see so many fighters who have so many issues, you know, after their career, during their career. This is a rough business.
Yes, being with Canelo yesterday and kind of like watching him up close and doing that interview, it was like insane to see a guy that has been on top for, he said this upcoming year will be year 22 as a pro. And he was a prodigy. He's like a Bryce Harper, LeBron James. Like, he was that guy as a teenager, turned pro as a teenager, best of his family, all the brothers, all the pressures there, rises to the top, stays on top. Doesn't get in any trouble outside of the ring,
except for that one fight that he punched somebody once, and someone else like took
in a fight
the rap. Yeah, he was another fighter too. He was.
Oh, that's. I mean, that's. I don't even consider that anything.
It was not a good look. But I think that was like the only issue he ever had. That was a long time ago. But.
Regardless of that, fracas. Just to be on top like that, and tonight, and he I don't know if he sees a psychiatrist. I don't know if he sees talks to anyone, but he did mention one thing that was pretty damn cool. We're talking about the money, right? Ariel asked him about Floyd. You know, when you look at Floyd, to see him lose all his money, that, you know, what does that make you think of someone that has a ton of money? And he brought up a time in 2013 where he thought he had like $1 million in the bank. And he bought a few things and then like didn't look at his account, and next thing you know there was like 150 grand in it, and it like happened so fast and he was like, oh shit. And I thought that was pretty freaking cool. Now he buys like $1 million watches, but yeah.
The people at home were listening like, oh, we had $150,000 in the bank. Oh, that's poor him.
But as a prize fighter, not a lot of
people have $150,000 in their bank these days. That,
yeah, but like Canelo at that point wasn't like 2013. He had already fought on HBO numerous times. He had already fought Lara. He already fought Trout. Like he had, I don't know if he had just about to fight Canelo. You should have more than that.
Just about to fight Mayweather?
Mayweather. Yeah. You should have way more than that.
Listen, you can never look in people's bank accounts, man.
But I think the point was, it's like, you know, a lot of people like Floyd, it could happen like that. Like, yeah. Floyd probably didn't realize what was going on with his money. And Canelo didn't realize what was going on with his money. That's a different aspect of the sport. You know, kind of
in the difference same is Canelo was 22.
Yeah. Floyd is 50.
Yeah.
For this fight, Spence and Zhu. Spence and Zhu, I'm going with Spence. I changed my mind. I was Zhu all the way. Something about Errol Spence. I think he's got the muscle memory. I think he's going to weather the storm early. I think Zhu's going to jump on him early. Then I think Spence is going to weather that storm, get behind that jab. Decision win for Errol Spence Jr.
I think Spence stops him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I switched my pick too. I was picking Tim. I was not comfortable with Spence coming back after the long layoff and the way he was looking at some of these training videos and kind of the way he was saying certain things. But I don't know. I saw glimpses of old Spence this week. I know I said, yeah, you can't put any, it's a grain of salt watching somebody. I don't know, man. The guy was so goddamn good. Even a 70% version of Errol Spence topples Tim. Tim Zhu hasn't looked good lately either. And he's got a lot of scar tissue. Got cut his last fight bad. He got cut really bad against Ondora. Errol's going to stand and fight. And I just don't even though this is a higher weight class, I don't think Tim has the firepower. I have very good knowledge of people, cruiserweights, that sparred with Spence when he was fighting at welterweight, and he used to beat the shit out of light heavyweights and cruiserweights in the gym all the time. The guy's used to getting hit by big punchers. The guy's used to beating up bigger bodies. I think the weight's actually going to help him. 160 is better. That's probably where Spence should have always been. I don't know how the hell that guy ever made 147. I mean, 54, I told you this. 54 was going to be a struggle for him. And now this fight obviously was a struggle because he's getting pushed up. Although I do have an inside track on that because he did have visa issues. Paulie Malignaggi told me that.
Paulie was going to step in and fight.
Yeah, that's
right?
Crazy.
But what a headline that was.
Paulie has been over there in Australia, and he said a lot of the fighters, all the American fighters had troubles with their visas. Fulton did. Charlo's not even fighting.
Charlo's not
but
there.
So, Fulton is. But it pushed Fulton back, his trip coming in, pushed him back. It pushed Errol back a couple of days. And if you're making weight across the world, a couple of days can make a big difference in terms of cutting those last couple pounds. So I'm happy that they I heard that because it gives me a little bit of reprieve. Like, I thought it was like, he just can't make the weight. He's really struggling. He's been out that long.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, but if you lose some days in travel, I can give you a pass on that. So that's another thing that gave me kind of like a little bit of positive thought about this. So I'm going Errol. I think once Errol finds his gears, it's just going to be, he fights like he's falling, he's running downhill. Once he gets going and the momentum gets behind him and he just starts pounding both hands, bing, gotcha. Bing, 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 pow, pow, pow. I just don't know how, I don't see how Tim can stop him from coming at him.
Zeus got to come out fast, and he's got
to
come out.
He's got to hope to catch him and hope that his beard is completely gone.
First three rounds, Zeus going to come out. I think, and kind of try to see, kind of take it to Spence, and we'll see right away. That's the intriguing part of the fight is the first four rounds. But I think we were both in agreement. Like, I think decision, you think stoppage, Spence. I think first four or five rounds, Spence, Zeus should come out and kind of jump Spence. But once Spence gets behind that jab, which I think that's going to be the key to the fight for Spence, everything behind the jab. And then we'll see. Should be a good one. Co-main event, Stephen Fulton in the ring for the first time since the Foster loss. Liam Wilson, who lost to Valdez and had that controversial loss to Navarrete, where he dropped Navarrete. Navarrete had like 40 seconds to recover in 2023.
Navarrete's got a couple of those under his belt. The Suarez fight, this one.
That's what makes Navarrete. He fights like freaking Tasmanian devil, punches from all weird angles. Will he make weight? Will he not make weight? Will he get disqualified? Will something happen? That's the beauty of that guy. Wilson, I'm looking at this fight. I'm looking at the line on FanDuel. Plus 550, Wilson by decision. Like, obviously, Fulton is the big favorite.
What's Wilson by knockout? Guy's got a blistering left hook. Blistering.
Yeah, so we're looking at this fight with Liam Wilson and Stephen Fulton. For Stephen Fulton, it's his first fight back in a really long time. It's at super featherweight. So it's not. It's at 130. So it's not at 135. That's where Fulton's last fight was because he blew past the weight. I don't know. I'm looking at Wilson. I think he's a live dog. Plus 550 on the decision. He's plus 290 on the money line. Fulton did not look good in that last fight. Wilson, home cooking, does have that blistering power shots like you talked about too. So something to keep an eye on in this this busy day of fights.
Yeah, it's another guy in Fulton that you don't know exactly who's going to show up. Because when he's on, he's an absolute nightmare. The Brandon Figueroa performance was phenomenal. And then, you know, he completely blows it with Fulton, with Oshaki Foster. And now he's traveling across the world. There's a lot of things that kind of make you think in this one. But again, if he shows up, he outboxes Liam Wilson's head off. But if he is anywhere near what he looked like last time out, he might lose. And like you said, it could be home cooking and he could get stopped. Liam Wilson can punch. So, I don't know. It's definitely a fight that's going to be interesting because we don't know exactly what's going to happen.
I did not like what I saw from Fulton in that last fight. The blowing through the weight.
I heard he was hanging out a lot, not training really. And
we did an interview. We have our media time with him in the hotel, in like the ballroom, whatever. It's just me, him, our team, PPV team, and like one other. And he was just talking about how hard it is to make weight.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking in the back of my mind, like I've heard fighters say that. Like you can see it on their face. They don't really actually say it.
Yeah.
And he just seemed like a guy towards the end, like doesn't want to make that weight anymore. Like doesn't want to go through some of the last couple of days.
Okay. And well, you're fighting across the world at that same weight. That's this.
Yeah, that's a fight for sure that I'm looking at over on FanDuel. Pretty good value there for
that weigh-in might be interesting.
Yeah, on Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
We'll see if he can make 130 again. Speaking of FanDuel, let's go over to our FanDuel segment this week. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Looking at the Zuffa card, Sunday night, New York City. Zuffa comes to New York for the first time. Edgar Berlanga, Richardson Hitchens, Sergey Derevchenko, Otto Wallin. A New York type of fight. No, Derevchenko is not a New Yorker, but he's been there for a long time.
Listen, I met him in New York. I trained with him in Brooklyn. I think he very much, anyway, he is Ukrainian, but I think he very much considered himself, you know, this is his U.S. home.
Yes, and Berlanga is a massive favorite, minus 400. Not that massive, actually. I thought it was going to be bigger. I was actually kind of surprised by that. Berlanga stoppage, minus 130. Obviously, all eyes are going to be on that in this fight. Butler has been stopped before. He was stopped in just two rounds against Janibek not too long ago.
He's been stopped Berlanga in every one of his losses. Made. 100% KO.
Yeah, we're setting Berlanga up for a nice KO victory. Get that train going again. Berlanga stoppage, minus 130. You know, this isn't much of a fight that we need to spend too much time on. Berlanga's setting himself up for bigger fights at 168. I like the stoppage. I actually like the stoppage. I'd probably look at some of the rounds, alternate rounds, and get it before the first six. I think he might get him out of there quick.
I think if he doesn't get him out of there quick, I don't think he gets him out of there. But I do think he gets him. I think Butler is tailor-made. There's a reason he was picked for this. I got Berlanga stopping him early. Maybe we might return
Richardson Hitchens.
We might return to the first round KO Edgar Berlanga, the guy who had 16 in a row. Jumps all over this guy.
That was a whole different world. That was a whole different world. Whole different Edgar Berlanga. We'll see. We got Richardson Hitchens, Ricardo Salas. Hitchens first fight at 147. Hitchens big time favorite, minus 950. For Hitchens, it's his first fight at 147, and he had that stoppage over Kambosos, and I was really impressed with that stoppage. That was at 140. Salas has never been stopped 20-plus fights. I see distance here. Hitchens' money line is the move.
Salas is tough as shit. He's fought on ProBox TV. He's got a draw with Ruben Aguilar, who is a monster. He beat, knocked out Roman Villa. He knocked out Kent Cruz on our air in two rounds. No, he knocked out Jesus Saracho, who's a tough Mexican kid who's fought on ProBox as well. So I know a lot about this guy. He's a tough customer. Stylistically, I mean Hitchens can outbox him and will, but if Salas can make this fight on the inside, he's a very good body puncher too, really good body puncher. There could be some moments for Team Hitchens where they're gritting their teeth.
Sergey Derevyanchenko, Jaleel Hackett, +140 Derevyanchenko, 16-6, but like don't let that record fool you.
I bet on Sergey to win.
Wow.
Yeah, I've trained all these guys. I trained with Edgar Richardson and Sergey, multiple camps in Brooklyn. Sergey is one of the hardest working guys that you'll ever see. One of the toughest sparring sessions I've ever had was with Sergey Derevyanchenko. The guy just throws so many punches, and he's big, and he's good, and he's very technical. Yes, he's older. Yes, he's coming off that bicep injury from the Mbili fight, but there's no lack of heart in him. The only fighter I've ever seen dominate him was Charlo. Everyone else, he has been an absolute nightmare for, Triple G included. Most people thought he won that fight. So I think Sergey can go back to the well one last time. And this is it.
That would
but
be crazy.
Also, I'm betting with my heart because I love the guy. So
yes, yeah, take that with a grain of salt. You were actually sparred with this guy. You have information that not a lot of bettors have. I sparred all those guys
except for Edgar. Edgar was too big, but I sparred Hitchens a lot. I sparred Sergey a few times. But
what about Hitchens that in sparring that caught your eye?
His jab. Oh, his jab. No, he's got a brilliant jab. When him and I sparred, it was basically just a jab contest back and forth. We were playing chess and jabbing back and forth. It was whoever could land the jab, and it was high level stuff. The issue is that we were fighting in a ring as big as my back seat of my car because the gym in Brooklyn was so small. So yeah,
that's what's his name's gym, right?
Saddam Ali. So it was you know, me and Rich and we both have +72 inch reach. You know, I think he's 74. I'm 72. We've got super long arms, and we're fighting in a ring, boxing in a ring. It was so small, and we were just like jab contest back and forth. So every
that's
round
the gym,
was like
Danny Jacobs. That's the gym. Derevyanchenko.
Curtis
like
Stevens.
Cave,
yeah, right? It's downstairs. It's all brown, like it literally like chiseled out stone. Great gym, hard work in there. Andre Rozier, one of the best trainers in the world.
That's so indicative, Rozier.
Yeah, Rozier is the man.
Good guy.
That's the man.
Good guy. Nice guy.
Uncle Drake.
Yeah, he's awesome. Derevyanchenko has that loss to Mbili with the injury.
Tore his bicep in like the second round, which is ridiculous that he kept fighting.
Lost to Munguia, which was a really thrilling fight.
Yes.
Really close scorecards.
War.
Lost to Adames, lost to Charlo, lost to Golovkin, lost to Jacobs. But all close fights. Like, he's one of those trivia questions.
Except for
like,
Charlo. Except that was not a close fight.
That's when I thought that was the coming out party for Charlo. And I was like, damn.
Me too. That's when I was like, wow, this guy's special.
That was in that was the bubble fight for Jamal. He really dominated him. Hackett, youth on his side, 23 years old, but hasn't shared the ring with anyone near the level of Derevyanchenko. So there is value here.
He's got a loss, too. He's also lost. He's not like...
He lost to Jose Vasquez.
Yeah, I mean, close fight, but he's you know, he went the distance and lost rounds to Pete Dobson.
Rounds.
You know, so he's not like this perfect prototype, you know, like youthful star. This is a tough fight.
Wait, if you want to, like you say, Hitchens' decision, right?
Yeah.
Like we're pretty locked in on that. And now if you want to build a parlay and you want to add some value to it, is go with Derevyanchenko, money line.
But if you're parlaying, it's a good way to blow it because if he doesn't get it, then it's. I mean, that's
yeah,
a stretch.
But you want
it,
like this card is like the co-main and the main. Like Hitchens is a massive favorite, -950. Berlanga is gonna, we think is gonna get a quick stoppage. So you want to like if you're thinking that there's gonna be one fight where there's gonna be like somewhat of an upset, it's Derevyanchenko.
Oh yeah.
So if you want to go, you know, if you want to build something there on FanDuel and you want to start with Derevyanchenko and Hitchens or Derevyanchenko and Berlanga by stoppage, What, pretty good odds there.
What's the line on Hackett?
I'm trying to find it right now. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Minus 190 for Hackett, plus 140 for Derevchenko. Okay, here we go. Money line Derevchenko, Hitchens by decision. That is sitting at plus 250. Not terrible.
Not great.
Pretty good.
Not great either, but...
Pretty good. For this card, you know, for this type of card, this is a card Sunday night.
Sergey's never been stopped also, so... Can you bet distance on that one? Because I don't know.
Fight to go to distance, of course. Fight to go to distance.
Because that could be part of that parlay, too.
Will the fight go the distance? Yes, minus 260.
Ah, no. So even Vegas thinks it's going to go the distance.
Curious to see how this fight's going to do at the gate. Seat maps have been posted all over Twitter. This is Zuffa's first foray in New York City. It's Sunday night. It's been a wild summer in New York City as a New Yorker. Between the Knicks, between the World Cup, summer, a ton of things going on in the city. A lot of events are getting swallowed up. So a Zuffa event on Sunday night doesn't really have competitive top of the card. Should be interesting. I know a lot of eyeballs are on Zuffa and where they're going to go. You know, Sish signed Shakur Stevenson, Ryan Garcia, Ben is a Zuffa fight. This is one of them. And I think for Hitchens, he's going to go on to bigger things at 147. Same thing with Berlanga. They're going to try to figure out a plan for him. So that's an interesting aspect of this as well.
Yeah, this is all speculation because we really don't know what's going to happen. A lot of the things that you know the Zuffa and the TKO group said they were going to do, they reneged on, and new rules are being written all the time. So I'm curious to see where guys like Hitchens at 47, where there's all these big fights that can be made. Can they be made? It certainly seems like they can, you know, so that's a good thing for him. And same thing with Berlanga. Berlanga's at 168. There's so many good fights at 168, you know, but they're outside of that pool. But can there be crossover because there's enough money in the pot? Certainly seems like there is. So maybe this is a good decision for these guys now. They're both in not dangerous fights right now. But I don't know. We'll see as this all plays out because we're all watching this experiment at the same time, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. But whatever, we're getting fights this weekend. Stacked.
Thank you. Yeah, this weekend is stacked. Thank you, FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app right now. Speaking of the DAZN, I do want to touch on that before we get to the heavyweight fights this weekend. So we said Shakur Stevenson signs with Zuffa last week. Teofimo signs directly with DAZN. There are heavy rumors, according to Dan Rafael, that Devin Haney is going to sign directly with DAZN any moment now, and he's going to fight Keyshawn Davis for his WBO welterweight title.
Yes.
So we talked about this last episode. We're seeing kind of a war now between DAZN and Zuffa. DAZN is now stepping up their game to unprecedented levels where they are signing fighters directly. We saw this in the 90s with like Roy Jones. He fought exclusively on HBO, they bypass promoters. So DAZN is saying, you know what? We're tired. We are the home of boxing. We're going to scoop up every promotion out there. And on top of it, we're going to double down and sign fighters exclusively. So you can't go and fight on like maybe a Paramount because what else out there? You know, what else is there out there besides DAZN and Paramount right now? So it's 100%. There is a war going on between DAZN and Zuffa right now, and the fighters are benefiting it, which is great. And Devin Haney is going to sign with DAZN, and he's going to fight Keyshawn Davis, and he's not going to fight Shakur Stevenson anytime soon.
Fans are benefiting as well with this battle. Keyshawn and Devin, we talked about this on our last show. Love this fight. Entertaining fight. I think the timing's right. And I like these young fighters putting it up, you know, putting their O's on the line in their primes. Great fight. Really good. Also, if they, you know, if it is the rumors are true, which they certainly seem that they are, with Devin signing with DAZN, DAZN seems to be flexing their network muscle more and more, forcing big fights, forcing good fights. Again, the fans are winning because we're getting these matchups. Keyshawn and Devin, man, or Devin and Keyshawn, because Devin's defending his title. It kind of came out of nowhere, even though we've been talking about it a little bit, but like, oh man, I really like this matchup. Because you thought of Keyshawn as a 40-pounder because he just moved up to 40. You don't really expect him to jump up to 47, but you know, after the last fight, he's like, I don't like making weight. I want to fight at 47. I can do it. Boom. now we got this fight.
Yeah.
So good.
I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear that Devin Haney is ducking Shakur Stevenson to fight Keyshawn Davis.
He's the mandatory. He wants to keep his belt.
Well, that's another thing we're seeing, too, is Canelo talked about belts matter. Ryan Garcia talked about belts matter, even though the WBC logo has been removed from the Zuffa signage for the fight with Conor Benn. A lot of fighters are saying they want these belts. We're seeing that as another thing, too, where you got a fighter like Shakur Stevenson, who famously gave up his WBC belt because he didn't want to pay the sanctioning fees. Then he goes signs with Zuffa. Devin Haney doesn't want to give up his WBO strap, so he sticks around. He's going to fight his mandatory. It's probably not going to go to the purse bid, which is scheduled for Monday, which is going to be live streamed on WBO socials. I think they'll come up with an agreement from everything I'm seeing from Lance Pugmire and some other well-respected reporters out there. It's a great fight. Get that fight in like October. Devin Haney steps back into the ring. He didn't fight at all this year. I'm pretty disappointed with that, but I said if he steps in there with someone like Shakur or Keyshawn, we're going to be excited, and we are. So that's going on in like the business aspect of it. DAZN scooping up these fighters like Teofimo to fight exclusively on their network. He's fighting Rolly in August.
Good fight.
Ryan versus Connor.
Good fight.
And now Teofimo. I mean, now Shakur. Oh my God, I'm messing all these names.
Devin
up.
And Keyshawn.
Devin. I can't even get them all out. There's so many fights coming up, and they're all happening at welterweight.
All at welterweight, all young guys, all in their prime. It's great. Boxing needs this, and we're in a good spot right now, man. As long as these fights all come to fruition and we get to see these guys in the ring together, we should all be fighting each other. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and DAZN now can force their hand on what fights they want as their main events. Right, they have complete autonomy over. All right, we want this guy to fight this guy. So like we want Devin Haney versus Keyshawn Davis. That's a big fight. That's our main event. That's happening. Then they can go to the promoters and say for the co-main event, come up with your co-main event. This is what HBO used to do back.
Yeah, you had to be okayed. I was during that era. My opponents, you know, for these fights had to be okayed. It's like that's not an HBO level fighter. You got to fight one of these this group, and they would be groups of guys that you had to choose from.
That was kind of my one knock on DAZN. Obviously, there's knocks on everything. Like people have their problems with DAZN. It was always like a little bit of quality control.
Yeah,
there wasn't a lot of it. I think now they're
figuring out the sport and the business. Boxing is very unique. It's unlike any other sporting event, entertainment in the world.
Yeah, we'll have a lot more on the Haney stuff once that becomes official. Like who knows? It could be official right now on Twitter. I know. It was like any moment now with Haney, and then that could be like Sunday stuff. Tyson Fury is fighting on Friday in Thailand. And good luck trying to see any footage from it unless you are a avid watcher of At Home with the Furies, and you're going to have to watch it a couple months from now. Because that's one of the craziest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, you called me yesterday to explain that to me, and I was blown away that they're not going to be airing the Tyson Fury fight. There's nowhere to actually watch it. And the only way to see any of it is this eclipse on his show that comes out in a couple months on Netflix. So this just points to all signs of what this fight looked like for when it first was signed to me. It's a sparring session. It is a public sparring session in front of 1,500 people in Thailand where it's going to go to charity or whatever. It's just so Tyson can have another training camp, can get that feel of walking to a ring and go fight before he has to get back in the ring with Anthony Joshua, who's actually dangerous. Because Marius Wach, he's damn near 50. I mean,
13 losses.
He's fought everyone. He's got 13 losses. He's a sparring partner. This is a sparring session. They probably sparred together in the past too. Marius Wach.
Probably definitely have.
Yeah, Marius Wach is one of those guys. I mean, I remember him coming and sparring over in New York. So. Yeah, and it's a sparring session to get ready for Joshua. As long as we get the Joshua fight, I don't really care. I don't really care. If it's not on TV because it's not going to be competitive, good. Don't air it. It will look bad if that's the case.
There's no odds on it.
That's not a good sign either. So it's a sparring session, guys. You don't bet on sparring sessions. Guess what? You don't bet on this quote-unquote fight either.
Yeah, just get through it healthy. Don't get hurt. Don't get cut. Don't lose. And if he loses, no one's going to see it. Doesn't make it to the show.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
So what do they do? Are they like taking cell phones at the door?
I don't know. This is all a new situation, Dan.
Is this wild orgy rules? No cell phones allowed?
How many wild? Well, I mean, you did work in the Hamptons for a while, so you were a pool boy. So you probably got some stories that I am not privy to those kinds of gatherings.
A lot of moms like the pool business. The pool cleaning business, like there are like some like, oh, stereotypical moments like where you're cleaning the pool and like the mom comes out and like.
It's a legitimate like pornographic movie like right, subgenre. Yeah,
she comes out. Like literally there was some mom like we're in Dune Road in West Hampton like cleaning these mansions and like legitimate housewives would come out like with the tray, like with the lemonade. Mm-hmm. As we're shirtless.
With the lube. Just, hey.
Oh, hey. It didn't get that far. But a couple of times it's like, hey, our college daughters are having a party tonight.
You should come.
Can you bring some of the locals? That was fun. I don't know what's going on in Thailand. That's what was going on in West Hampton.
I think the things that happen 2010s. In Thailand are a little crazier than the Hamptons, buddy.
Yeah. Tyson Fury fighting in Thailand. Where you can only watch the fight on highlights on a Netflix show.
Well, listen, that fight doesn't...
Unbelievable.
That fight doesn't worry me. This Pranga fight with Joshua worries me. That fight actually worries me. That's a real fight.
Right. I was looking at Pranga last night. I'm like, who is this guy? Let's give him his just due. Let's give him his respect. Let's look him up. Let's check him out. All 20 wins by stoppage.
Yeah. Fighting a puncher.
20 wins. 20 stoppages. His last 7 fights, 5 first round knockouts. 2 of those were in the second round. Hasn't seen a third round in quite a while. Been a pro since 2016. Grew up watching and idolizing Anthony Joshua. Grew up in Albania. Has some kickboxing experience as well. Defeated Joseph, I don't know how to say this name, but he's been around forever. DeJureco?
Joey DeWico.
DeWico! Joey DeWico. 2024.
And, DeWico he stopped Joey. Joey's not easy to stop.
Pranga, this is an interesting fight. Joshua took 6 rounds to beat. I did not think Joshua looked good against Jake.
He did not, no.
I don't know what that was. I don't know how much stock to put into that fight. It was a whole different ball game. But I just thought like, all right, I can take something from Joshua's performance. I was like, he looked rusty. It looked like it took him 6 rounds to get distance, jab, all that. And then he has the horrific car accident tragedy, which is another thing weighing on his mind. It has to. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, this is, I think Joshua will win. I was a betting man. I put my money on Joshua, but we've seen crazier things. And Pranga is big, too. He's like 6'5".
6'5". 6'5", and he can punch. He's Albanian. Albanians are known for being historically tough people. Yeah, I don't know. This would not have been my pick for Anthony Joshua's keep busy fight versus Tyson. Listen, I mean, the thing about Tyson, about AJ, he punches so damn hard. He goes out there and just blasts that right hand cannon against this big tall guy. You know, good, okay, and we move on. But I don't know, man. It's going to be a nerve wracking first 90 seconds.
Eddie Hearn's gonna be butthole clenched.
Yeah, just yeah, wrapped up.
Netflix executives
hugging his knees to his chest.
Everyone, I'm waiting on bated breath to see if Joshua can get through it because you can't just like pencil or put it in ink with Joshua. You can't just this age with the wear and tear, the mental aspect of it with the car accident. And just the fact, like, he's been hit before. Like, his chin's been checked.
Yeah. He basically got dropped with a jab against Dubois. He got hurt, but every punch I landed hurt him. You know,
Do you put much stock into the Jake fight, like, going 6 rounds?
No, I just...
Or do you think that was more of like
a... I think it's like what you said in terms of him just being very rusty. I think people forget that he was coming off an elbow surgery of that lead hand, which looked like you could see him kind of like... pawing with it and putting it out there. I also don't think he took... I mean, as I don't want to say he didn't take it seriously, but I don't think he took it that seriously, honestly. I think he went out there and was just like, I'll get you eventually. Oh, you're a little more annoying than I expected. I'm gonna get you. And as soon as Jake slowed down and couldn't move as much, he blasted him out. So
blasted him out of there. I hope Joshua wins. I root for him. I hope Pranga has a good performance, too, and like you can get something out of this as well. Like I just want to see Joshua Fury This is the last hurdle. Like, who knows, Monday there'll be a more of an announcement, or next week. Who knows there? That's a whole nother freaking mess.
Tyson's fighting first, right? He's fighting on Friday, and then
Friday.
Joshua's
Friday,
yeah. on Saturday.
Yeah.
Thailand. And Joshua's in Saudi?
Joshua's in Jeddah, Saudi.
Yeah, Arabia. Tyson can fly right over the next morning. Get over there. Get in the ring.
I would love
Get in
that.
The ring after. Get in the ring after.
I would love this to all be... I would love it if on Monday we're talking about Joshua Fury at Wembley Stadium at a reasonable hour on Netflix or wherever. I would love that this saga to be put to rest, and we can just focus on them fighting again, like pen to paper and all that. Josh Kelly is fighting on the undercard, coming off of that Bakram win. He's minus 230 favorite. He's fighting Kamian Akyorko, and this is another upset special I'm looking at.
Mm.
Akyorko plus 290. Akyorko by decision plus 550. Akyorko is tough. Akyorko is tricky. Kelly has have up and down performances. He's looking to boots.
Oh, I know this guy. Akyorko. Yeah. No, he
no slouch, man.
No slouch at all. I remember the Ishmael Davis fight end of last year. I thought that was a good performance. It's a little bit of like a kind of like a local ish fight. Oh, he's actually Irish.
He's Irish.
Huh. I thought he was British. But I guess, yeah, he does. He's born in London. And
I'm going with, I'm looking at, I think Kelly will win. I think he's just in that groove.
Eight straight wins. English.
Yeah. Eight straight wins for Kelly. The background fight was amazing. But Yorko is just tricky. It's a tricky, and if you want to look at some value here, Yorko plus 550 on decision. Hamza Shiraz is also fighting on this card against Simon Zackenhuber. Minus 3,000 favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, Zackenhuber sounds like a world beater. Not.
Man, come on, Shiraz. Like,
6 foot tall southpaw from Germany.
Okay.
Who lost a six rounder 2 months ago. 3 months.
Lovely.
Ago.
3 months ago. Demetrius Andrade.
Back.
Back in the ring this weekend.
Boo boo.
Mohegan Sun. Who's so we from? Got New York. We got Mohegan Sun. We got Saudi Arabia. We got
another
Australia.
Guy. Another guy I used to train with and actually sparred a few times.
He's fighting Douglas Ataide.
Ataide.
I think if Andrade wins, which he should, if he doesn't, like obviously that's horrible. There are he could be, you know, there's some names at 168 for him.
Andrade. Oh yeah. He could step back and do a big fight.
Step into a fight.
He was another fighter that a lot of fighters really respected because of his craft and his ability and his accomplishments. Demetrius Andrade's a fantastic fighter.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, he came up short against Benavidez, but that was a tough task. All right, that's our episode. We're going to be a lot of fights this weekend. Going to have to watch all these fights. I need like an abacus. I need a T83 calculator to watch all these. I need.
Oh, man, you're aging yourself big time.
I need. What else do I need? I need one of those boxes, the hot box.
You need a calendar with calendar in reminders for catching all these fights.
I need my globe. I have a globe on my entertainment center. I have to keep an eye on that. Like, where are we at now in the world? Thailand? Man, Friday, Thailand.
Luckily, you're a single guy. You don't got to answer anybody. I'm going to be sitting down for 17 hours this weekend watching fights. Don't bother me.
Yeah, I know. In the summer, it's hard because you want to go out and do stuff, but like this is our jobs. So I will be locked into Spence Zoo on PPV.com. Go order with us. It's Saturday night. Friday's Fury. We're not going to be able to see that, but I'm sure we'll get an idea of what happened there unless they take their phones away.
Maybe I'll act it out. We'll do like a live stream, and I'll just act out the
Here's
fight.
What happened. Like, yeah, have someone who's there tell us what's going on.
Yeah, and I'll fight like Tyson because everyone knows how much I can mimic fighters. I'll fight like Tyson. I'll get somebody to be Wok, and we'll just act it out.
Perfect. That's great. It's good value. Put that right on our socials. And then Joshua, Saturday afternoon, like normal like time when there's a fight over in Saudi. So it'll be like Eastern time, like 5.
my favorite.
5 or 6ish. Josh will step in there. And what are the other one? And then Sunday night is Zuffa. That's like a regular time. Eastern.
Is it going to be an earlier show, or is it going to be like a regular 8 p.m.? Like Sunday?
I think it's a regular 8.
I don't like those. I don't like that.
I don't like Sunday night, bro. It's an afterthought.
I think it's an afterthought, and you're kind of hungover from the weekend before. But also, like, I'm at boxing hangover. But
also, people are hungover as well.
Yeah, true. But also, make it earlier, man. Like, Monday morning, we got to go to work. You know?
I don't like the Sundays. I think they're going to end once football starts. I think that's... we'll see. Zuffa, one thing we've seen about Zuffa is they change.
They do.
They change the rules. They listen to the market. They change a lot of things. We'll be back on Sunday to break this all down. A wild weekend of boxing. Who knows what we'll get. We're bound to see something crazy happen in one of these fights, which is why we love this sport. Have a great weekend, everyone. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. See you next time.